Open your Bibles to John 16, as we teach on Ephesians. We're still, we're going to walk in the truths of that book, however long it takes to get there. Now, I'm not going to take a show of hands, but I'm telling you, the 8:30 service this morning, and the 10 o'clock one, and then Wednesday night, if you were not here, If you can't see another hand involved in the teaching that's going on here, because we don't get together back here somewhere and go, okay, you teach this part, you teach this part, and I'll teach this part. Because Wednesday night, see, what did I put on? What was the title on that? Something about let the Spirit of Truth guide you, something like that. Let the Spirit of Truth. And I was making statements like, I'm about giving up on trying to understand this mentally. I mean, okay, your definitions are fine. They're not helping me out. You know. What I mean is it's not much change. I'm about come to the point like Jesus said, and that's why I had you turn here to 16:2. So Wednesday night it was all about this verse, you know. Not 16:2, that's what it says at the top of the page. John 16, verse 13. Calm down, Gary. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, I love that, I just love that title. One third of the Godhead is the Spirit of Truth. I could just have a running fit just meditating on that part right there. The Spirit of Truth. When He, the Spirit of Truth, is come. Notice the personal pronoun. He. He, not an it. He, the third member of the Godhead Himself. See this, and let me just do a little, let me digress just for a moment. This is why I get real suspicious when angels come to teach people. I get real suspicious about all these angels. I've come to teach you this. And now, angels are messengers, and they're in the New Testament, and they bring information, all right. But He did not turn you over to an angel to be your teacher. Angels are not infinite like the Spirit of the living God. They're not omnipresent like the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost can be your personal tutor, which He talks about here in a minute. So anyway, when He, personal pronoun, I want to say it a different way to mess with your head. You think you might make it if God would just agree to just kind of, He just put the rest of the universe on hold. He says, look, for as long as you'll let me, I'll just come and teach you personally, and then maybe you could make it. What do you think if God Himself would come and teach you? That's who He is here. You're dismissed. I got to go pray. That's it right there. Isn't that something? When He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear. And what's amazing there, really, even at that, the Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. See, He says what He speaks to you is what He hears. What does that mean? Well, who is the head of the church? Nowhere do you find that the Holy Spirit is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is Lord. And the thing about the Holy Spirit, He is omnipresent all the time, everywhere. So He is with Jesus, if you'll allow me, in heaven, with you, and that means each individual believer. He can bring you the present hour mind of Christ for your individual life. He knows right where you are. He knows why you're failing. He knows what has to happen next and what has to happen after that and what has to happen after that. He will guide you. And again, I like this picture. Think about someone who'd been an orphan for a long time, and finally someone superior, someone wealthy, someone knowledgeable, someone who loves you, finally finds you and says, are you tired of being an orphan? And He reaches out His hand to you and He says, if you'll put your hand in mine, I'm going to guide you into everything you'll ever need in your life. That's exactly the invitation we have from God the Holy Ghost. put your hand in mine and let me guide you into all the truth. Excuse me again, I do have to go pray. I'm telling you. Well, anyway, that was kind of Wednesday night, you know. Wednesday night. Then here comes, and I'm telling you, I'm getting more and more thankful that we've got, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, that this isn't just a one-man show. Because things that I get part of it, but I miss part of it. Tim gets, he gets the other part. He gets part of it. Who knows? Steve, you know, Steve and I were bouncing back and forth from Revelation knowledge this week, and we both decided to take this teaching that looked pretty good, and before we was done with it, it went in the trash. You know? It takes more than one. But thank God we can all listen to the same teacher. Well, anyway, this morning, if you did not hear the 8:30 service, now, I'm saying this not only for this group here, but I know many people around the world are connected with this vision. You're going to have more than one website, too, I think. Now, listen. Tim, it's the same. What is today's date? February 21st, 2010. People say, look, when you reference one of those teachings, please give us the title. Trouble is, I don't know what the title is yet. It was 8:30 this morning. So all I can tell you, you need three websites minimum. You need GaryCarpenter.org, you need DaveRoberson.org, and you need www.iktus.net. Because you're going to need to hear all of these teachings. Well, let me say it this way. It'll speed your journey up if you hear them. Amen. You wouldn't really need them if you would pray. Which is really the truth. You learn to meditate the Word, pray in the Holy Ghost, that's all you really need, to be honest with you. That's really what you need right there. That's how you do it. Well, Tim, this morning, I'm not going to reteach it by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm trying to encourage you all. Now, say, well, I wasn't here, Brother Gary, and maybe you have good reason, maybe not. I don't care what the reason was. You live in a modern age, and you can hear that message and hear it pretty quick. Because you can go to one of those three websites, and in a day or two, you'll be able to hear the message that came at 8:30 this morning, February 21st, by Tim Stemple. Then, hopefully they'll put Dave's on there. They don't always put Dave's on there. Because a lot of times his is just ministry. You know what? When I say just ministry, I mean it's not the kind of thing you would post as a teaching. But what is posted is the prophecies that come forth. So you're going to need, we're going to need all of these things. I see a larger hand than any of us at work behind the scenes here, weaving together a tapestry of revival. Is that good or what? Is that good? So anyway, Wednesday night, that's the way the Lord delivered it through me. Now, Tim, he's been really going over. I did have a meeting with him the other day, and he had this little document already. Oh, for benefit of those that can't see me, there was a handout today. If you have not signed up for the prophecies from the prayer center, you need to do that by email or regular mail. I don't know the email address to sign up for that, but I do know you can call the prayer center. 918-298-PRAY, P-R-A-Y, or 7729. Call during business hours, and you can sign up that way. If you have an email, then they'll sign you up to receive it by email. If you don't have email, then you can get them in printed form. But you're going to need these prophecies, because what these are, this is the instructions that are coming from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Well, I was in a little meeting the other day with Tim, and we were talking about some stuff, just stuff, and it wouldn't be 2 or 3 minutes we'd be talking about this, and he'd pull that little document out that's got the prophecy so far this year, and he'd go, well, now on page 3 it said the Lord said this about that. Okay. And we're talking along, and he goes, now, actually on page 4 the Lord said, and I'm going, he's already got these in him. Like most of you have the Word in you. You know, you can run your spiritual Rolodex, you know. Somebody's, you know, is that in the Bible or not? You know. Well, he's already got these words. And really, we should all have them in us like that. So, here, Wednesday night, I deliver it the way I'm saying. I'm going, all right, we're going to have to let the Holy Spirit guide us. Okay, I mean, I'm not against definitions in Greek. I kind of like that as a teacher. But really, I can see plainly The Holy Spirit is the one that's been sent to guide us, and we're going to have to follow Him. Well, then Tim follows that up this morning, and he starts reading from these prophecies already this year. Already this year. And I know I was here. I know I heard these things. And then I'm going, have I ever heard this? I mean, it's just so clear. Like the second one. The second one, it came on January 5th. Called Take Heed to My Spirit. Let's see. It's really short. I'm just going to read the whole thing. It says, I am looking for the hearts that are willing to put off the old man for the new. For in the days ahead, there is much to do. We are closer than you think to the works I have been preparing in you. How many of you want to just, we'll just worship God right there? Closer than you think. The race is won by the swiftest, and the race is not finished. Now, how do you become swift? Take the time with my spirit and learn. And take heed to all that he tells you. Does that sound at all like anything from Wednesday night to you? The Holy Spirit had already said this by the spirit of prophecy. He'd already said this. He says, you are entering into a new time of learning and seeing more clearly about my life in you. Take heed to my spirit within you and all that he says to you. Many who have not heard will be hearing as they continue to move forward in truth. Praying much in the Spirit. Plain English, tongues. Praying in the Spirit is praying in other tongues. Praying much in the Spirit is times of personal tutoring by the Spirit of Truth. How many of you have done that for hours? And boy, does it seem anything but. It seems monotonous. It seems boring. There's a little demon right on, or maybe six or seven little demons right on your shoulder. They're shouting at you. Nothing is happening. Dave is crazy. That Gary is just, nuts. Quit listening to these guys. You should be doing anything but this. This is not working. And the truth of the matter is, your spirit, every hour you give to praying in other tongues, is sitting as a student in the classroom. And like Dave would tell us, the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard doing the teaching is none other than God the Holy Ghost Himself. You are in one-on-one teaching mode with God the Holy Ghost. Now the reason it seems boring is at that time, while that's going on, these mysteries are being communicated spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit to your regenerated human spirit. And your understanding at that moment is unfruitful. It is boring. That's why in the early days, I might have read Field and Stream magazine. But Dave taught me, no, don't do that. Give your mind over to meditating the Word of God. Well, in the early days, I had to have my mind on driving the truck. And a lot of people are thankful about that. That's the wonderful thing about praying in other tongues. You can have your mind occupied with other things. But in any event, it sure doesn't seem or feel like you're sitting in the presence of God and being tutored. Not just taught, but tutored. See, right at this moment, I'm taking the role as a teacher. There's one speaking and many listening. But a tutor is different than a teacher. A tutor comes to your house. There's no other students. It's you and him. And if you have a question, you can ask a question. He'll answer you at the level you can understand. My favorite illustration there is, have you ever tried to explain jet propulsion to an Aborigine in Australia? They can't do 2 + 2 = 4, but this doesn't mean they're not intelligent, they're just not been educated. So what do you say to an Aborigine the first time about an airplane? They've never seen one. You go, shiny. Go fast. You'll find the Holy Spirit. You're asking Him questions, and He's looking at your level of understanding. Some of your answers seem like shiny. go fast. He's trying to, you know, especially before you begin, and that really brings us to the next part, which is Dave bringing out the love. One of the words that the Holy Spirit spoke this morning, which I don't have in my hand yet, he said something along this line. The more you develop in the love of God, the more you're able to receive prayer for other people. Isn't that something? But see, when you're in the early stages of this and you're about 90% flesh creature, and God help that guy if he mows 2 inches over on your side of the lawn and you'll sue him. You can't really understand. What can God talk to you about regarding that guy that he gave his life for? Shiny? Go fast? He can't really talk to you very much. He barely got through to me that one time. At the time, I thought he was my worst enemy. God told me to give him my pickup. How in the world God was able to get that across to me at the time, I don't know. Because I wasn't praying for God to bless that guy a whole lot. But he got it across to me, see? As I look back on it later, thank God I didn't do anything to destroy that man. He's already off the planet and gone to be with Jesus. Anyway, getting back to this. Praying much, no matter what it... If you can just believe this and take it by faith, take it from those that have been on this journey. Like, I listen to Dave. Why? I see more of the fruit of the Spirit in him. I see more love in him. He's further down the path than I am, and so I'm still following him as he follows the Lord. Okay? So, trust us and trust the Holy Ghost when he says, praying much in the Spirit is times of personal tutoring by the Spirit of truth. Glory to God. He will move you past what has stopped you from believing. That I speak to you. And Sue said, you know, it's really a twofold thing. When she read this, she said, that's number one, because the enemy's always telling you that's not God. Okay? Hath God said. Isn't that from the beginning? Isn't that what he said to Eve? Hath God. Yeah, right. You heard God. Sure you did. And he'll start bringing waves boisterous and the wind blowing to make you think it wasn't God. Okay? But he says he'll move you past the first level of even believing that he's speaking to you. But then the second part, Sue said, you know, he'll also move you past where you don't believe. How'd she say that? She said you could insert the word what there. He will move you past what has stopped you from believing what I speak to you. First, you got to believe it's him. Then you got to believe what he said is true. See? Boy, that was good. I thought that was real good. And taking time to worship me will open places in you that I have not been given access to, and I can come to restore you. Places that I have not been given access to. Oh, brother. You know, I tried for years. One of the areas where I failed for years was discipline over my flesh when it came to smoking. Okay? And I tried everything in the world. But eventually, because I kept doing the message at least, I came to a place where I had an encounter with the Lord. When he says this, it'll open up. Taking time to worship me will open up places in you that I have not been given access to. I still remember it was in New York. We were up there doing some meetings. We'd gone back to the hotel room. Sue was really tired. She went ahead and went to bed. And this particular room had a bedroom and a little living area. I said, I'm going to stay up for just a little while and pray. And I was just praying softly. And I had one of those encounters with the Lord. To me, it was like an open vision. I still can't tell you what his face looks like. Has anyone else ever been there where the Lord walked in the room, but you still can't tell people what his face looks like? But boy, he talked with me. And I've told you what he said. You know, he said, now look, you know you can continue just like you are. You're doing good work for me. He says, you know, you can stay just like you are and you'll come to heaven and you're going to receive a reward. He says, but if you don't let me deal with this in you, if you don't deal with this thing. I see, Right now you're listening to Gary give his testimony about smoking, but what I'm really doing is teaching on rooms that he has not had access to. Yours may not be smoking. Yours could be anything. Just looking around the room, not looking at... It could be gossip. It could be internet fingers. It could be love of money. It could be love of prestige. It could be wanting the respect of man. It could be just name your thing. Rooms that he hadn't had that he does not have access to. But he told me that day that this is how he gained access to a part of me that had been locked up for 42 years. And he said, you can going to come to heaven, you'll have a good reward. But when you get here, if you don't deal with this, then I'm going to have to draw back a curtain and I'm going to have to show you all of the things that it was my plan for you to do that you never could do because I couldn't send you. Many places, they won't even hear a word you say as long as you have this problem. Man, he dug deep that night. See, the pain, no matter what y'all think, and I got plenty of issues. No matter what you think, I do love Jesus. And the thought of standing there someday in front of him and him having to draw back that curtain. He said, I intended for you to do this, but you love that more than you love me. And you weren't willing to do what was necessary to deal with that in order to follow me. I intended for you to do this. I just want you to know it's loss of reward. And it's not the loss of reward. It's him having to even tell me that. The pain of that, was a long night because I had tried it, more than 100 times, I think, to quit. I never had another one after that vision. Never had another one. I was up late that night thinking about that, rolling it over. Part of me is going, man, I got to quit. The other part's going, you can't. Look how many times you've tried. There's no way. I've got to. Somehow, this is the way it's phrased here. It's very good. Through that process that night, he opened up a place in me that he had not really had access to before. And I'm telling you, you continue to do this, you are going to have your own personal encounters with the Lord himself. Rooms that have been locked away that you don't even know you don't even go in that room anymore. It's too ugly to go in there, you know. But those are the very kinds of things that keep us failing. He says, I can deal with it. And apparently, worship is a big part of that key. Man, I'm liking this. I don't know about you. See, this is real. This is not... Did you know God is alive? Do you know Jesus is real and He loves you more than you love anything? And He knows exactly what you're... everything about you, and He loves you anyway? Think about that. When I think about that, He loves me anyway. And He's just waiting. No matter how ugly I've been this week, no matter what I've done, good, bad, or indifferent, if I'll go, when I leave here tonight, I've got a choice, you know. I'm either going to go spend time with Him by way of the Holy Ghost or worship, or I'm not. Same every day. And the enemy, his tactics are real easy. You can read them in Mark 4 just as easy as the cares of this world. In other words, just the daily busyness. And we've all got to do that. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to have jobs. We're supposed to be gainfully employed. You can find that all through the New Testament, unless you're full-time ministry. Then it's up to you. You can still do that if you want. But day by day, the enemy's plan is through distraction or... You know, shiny things, you know, shiny. You know how in South Africa they show you how to trap a monkey? It's so easy to trap a monkey. They have these little pots that are heavy, and it's got little holes in it that, you know, like this. How do I describe this for when your hand is just not in a fist, your hand will go through the little monkey's hand will go in there. But if it's in a fist, you can't pull it back out. The hole is, It's just barely big enough for you to get it in. All they got to do is put anything shiny in there. It can be, I mean, you can put the foil from a gum wrapper. Anything shiny in there. And that monkey, it'll put its hand right in there. And it'll grab a hold of it. And it won't let go. And here comes the trappers to get it. And the thing is thrashing and, you know, he knows it's about to be captured, but it wants the shiny thing so bad, even knowing that capture is imminent, quickly coming, it won't let go of it. And the devil's going, Christians? Just a few more payments on that car, and TV, that boat, and whatever, and I wish I could think of your thing, I'd say it too. Whatever it is. You know, and then, it's always then, you know, you won't have to have that second and third job, or whatever it is. I'm just shiny? Americans are crazy for shiny. And he traps us. We won't let go of it. That's good stuff. Okay, so let's get back. I want to finish up this word that came on the fifth here now. The last sentence of this, take heed to my spirit, for he has many things to say to you. In plain English, what does that mean? Take heed. We don't really talk like that. How about pay attention? Pay attention. And don't put it off. See, the second... Shiny is one of the main ways. I'll tell you another main tactic of the enemy. Start tomorrow. Yeah, we'll start tomorrow. When are you going to pray? Tomorrow. When are you going to fast? Oh, that's definitely tomorrow. And I'll tell you another thing that's tomorrow is a lot of times when he'll say things like, yes, sir. I haven't said that in a long time. It's one of my favorite sayings. I hadn't said it in a long time. See, people, when they first come to the prayer center, they nearly all have the same problem. They'll tell you, if you talk with them, they're very honest about it. Say, look, my problem is I can't hear God. If you can get them to praying and get them doing it consistently, a few weeks or a month or a few months down the road, they got a bigger problem than they come with. What's your problem now? I heard God. You're not going to believe what he said. Oh yeah, I probably will too. Because then he's going to start dealing with you about, I want you to, you know, and usually now, not always, but very commonly, it has to do with forgiveness. Those first things, I remember, now here we go again. I'm not going to teach this whole time, but this is how you take heed. See, take heed. I go back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. He told me plainly. Most of you know that my... And as I look back on it now, I mean, I don't mean to just throw any dispersions, but my first wife, it's like a country western song, she married my best friend. In the truck stops, he used to have this ball cap for sale. Ball cap says, my wife left with my best friend Bob. I sure do miss Bob. Now that's funny. That's funny. That's a funny joke. My wife left me for my best friend and his name was Bob. I wanted to buy that hat and Sue never would let me. But anyway. Now, to be honest with you, at that time, I thought I had every right. Boy, I mean, none of us were saved. None of us were. That's all healed, by the way. We live within 3 blocks of each other. We see each other all the time. Bob comes, helps me with my car and everything. You know, it's amazing how Jesus handles that. But at the time, well, I had every right to be indignant, you know. I used to see him as the evil dragon that came and snatched the fair damsel away. After praying about a year or two in the Holy Ghost, God showed me, no, he was the fair knight who rode up to save the damsel. And I was the dragon. Anyway. But I want you all to understand, the Lord really has healed that thing. Now, listen to this, though, see. In the early days, take heed. Well, see, we want to hear things like a Naaman the Syrian. We want to hear mighty things. If yes, God, what is it you would have me do? You know, well, I want you to. And we expecting some, yes, I want you to go and take a staff and split the Red Sea, and I want you to do this and that. He says, no, I want you to pray for Pat and Bob. At the time, I'm going, pray what? That you'll judge them? No. He took me to that Luke 6. Pray for those that do that. You know, pray for your love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you, and all of that. And I'm going, I don't want any of that for them. You know, he said, well, and he's just telling me. Here we go. Now, see, this is my shiny, go fast instructions. He couldn't really deal with me about his love for them because I was too selfish. So you know what he said to me? This is how he said it. He said, I want you to pray for them. I'm going, I don't want to do that. I want you to forgive them. I'm not going to do that. Here's how he said it to me. Well, you're not going to go very far with me if you don't. Now see, that appealed to my selfishness. I didn't care at all really about them. I didn't, you know, but he knew where I was. This is shiny, go fast. About his love. This is all I could understand. Why? Well, I want to go with you. I want to go on with you, God. I love you. It's these people. I love you. He said, well, then you're going to have to pray for them. That's taking heed to the Spirit. And it took me a while. See, God is real. He knows right where you are. And he knew, I'm not going to go very... Hey, you can forget all the other stuff that he wants to do down the road. I got to get past square one here. I'm not going to go very far with God holding that level of unforgiveness and hatred in my heart, bitterness. You think you're going to... His love is going to... His compassion is going to flow through you only by the gifts. He can almost flow through a rock with the gifts now, you know. But he's trying to transform us to the image of his son. So there was one of those moments. And I finally had to do it. I told you how I did it. I mean, you can just be the tiniest obedience, but you got to start somewhere. So he just kept dealing with me. He says, I want you to pray for him every time you think of him. I don't want to. Well, you're not going to. In fact, actually, I actually said this. I said, God, I don't want you to bless him. I want him to die, and I want to do the killing. Well, he got me past that pretty quick. You know, he says, all I want you to do is pray for them every time that you think of them. Just pray something like, Father, just bless them. I didn't even want to do that. I didn't want them blessed. I didn't, you know. But I finally, and see, it was all selfishness. He'll deal with you right where you are. I wanted to go further with him. I did not really care about them at all. I was upset. You understand me? Anyone ever been upset? All right. So the first time I prayed for him, I said, all right, I'll do it. So I did it like this. I said, Father, I thought of him. I'm trying to be obedient to you. Father, I pray for Pat and Bob. I pray that you bless them, and you know I don't really mean it. I figured he knew already anyway, you know, and that was the truth. It's the only way I felt I could honestly pray it. At the time, see? Well, I did it that way a few times, and he said, every time I think of them, well, I'm trying not to think of them, and the more you try not to think of them, the more you think of them. I'm praying for them 10 or 12 times a day now, you know? And eventually that fell off, you know, that part about, you know, I don't really mean it. But, you know, over the course of the next year or two, that's when he managed to enter a room, boy, that sure needed to be entered by him. And he began showing me my part. I was really, had been pretty blind to it. I thought I was totally justified in my anger and my resentment and my bitterness. How dare they? He got through, he started taking me back and showing me I wasn't exactly the best husband. You remember that 10 years of alcoholism? That Pat endured that. He started going back and showing me my part in that. By the time he was done with me, I didn't have any trouble praying for them. I was too busy crying out for mercy for me. I was the dragon. You know? And but by that process, he healed that room. That room is, it's just amazing how he can do that. We all of us now, we all remember everything. He doesn't like block out your memories, but I'll tell you what he does. He heals the emotions. There is no hurt with those memories at all. There's just no hurt. I remember. I know what happened. They know what happened. There is no hurt at all. How he has to be God to do that. There is no hurt. Isn't that something? And he took our lemons collectively, and he has done his best to make lemonade out of all that. We're still married today, so you know, it's brought Sue into my life. How many of you know that's going pretty well? See, you know. He made lemonade for all of us. See? All right. Well, all I know is I am really, really encouraged. That's about as far as he got this morning, and I think that's about as far as I'm going to go tonight. I am excited about this. I can see the blending together through the gifts that are here. Hey, and when before Alan had to leave, I was amazed. The last conference we had, I had to be gone during one of the services. I hate missing a conference. I hate missing any service, but I had to be gone, something to do with my parents. So I didn't hear Alan's message that he did that afternoon. So the next morning I'm teaching, and boy, everybody was talking about, man, how it's amazing how you and Alan did that. And I'm going, what did me and Alan do? So later on I got to listen to his message, and I listened and I remembered what I taught, and you would have thought that we rehearsed it. I'm telling you, there's something going on here that's bigger than all of us. There is as long as we all collectively keep yielding to the same tutor, we're going to make it into this revival. Amen? So I encourage you again. I encourage you. Don't let the shiny keep you away from prayer. Don't let the distractions keep you away from prayer. Let's press in harder than ever before. Give time to praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. All right.